Hello, this is Bob Keebler, and I'd like to invite you to our presentation entitled Section 199A, Case Studies on February 15th. What we're going to try to do, this will be a little bit different presentation. I will do a prequel, which will provide 20 to 30 minutes of foundational knowledge, because I realize not everyone's come to one of the 199 classes that have been done by Lissy so far. But once we get into the case studies, we're going to cover actual cases I've seen and consulted on. The first one will be a sole proprietorship and why the sole proprietorship should remain a disregarded one-person LLC. Their income is below $315,000. That gives them the best result under 199. We'll also talk why an S corporation needs to be established for a single person whose income is going to exceed $157,500. Because absent the S corporation and the ability to show a wage test, you're not going to be able to get any of the 199 deduction. Then we'll look at a dentist I consulted with, basically $400,000 of income, but by using the right mix of profit sharing and defined benefit plans, we can bring her below $315,000. And that's a great thing, because when you bring her below $315,000, she's a married lady, then we can assure ourselves of the 20% credit. That's a good thing. Now, on another dentist side, we have a person that's earning about $750. We will never get them. There's not enough planning we can do to bring them below the $315. But we can spin out the practice building. Currently, the practice building is in his LLC. We should be able to spin that out tax-free. That's what we're working on right now. And at least the $100,000 or $150,000 a year we get out of that very nice building will qualify for the 199 Cap A deduction. There'll be some tax savings there, not just 1 year, but going forward. Then we'll look at a chiropractor who has a very dynamic situation, earning well over $315,000 and clearly not able to get the deduction because he falls into the specified service business. But what we're doing is we can spin out his health food store. And by spinning out the health food store, we are able to pick up, we believe we'll be able to pick up the 199 Cap A deduction on that. The other alternative for something like that, which I'll touch on, would be to drop that health food store into a C corporation and not have, and then control the distributions through there. Finally, I will look at a number of different cases in the real estate world. I'll provide a brief foundational overview on real estate too. Maybe 5 to 10 minutes at most, but why it's so much different than the other businesses we're looking at. And then we'll look at a case where we're actually going to reduce debt to increase QBI. And by reducing debt, we're taking money out of an investment portfolio, bond portfolio, and reducing the debt on the real estate. And by doing that, we increase the income on the real estate, increasing QBI. That's a very important thing. I'll walk you through that. I have a client that has maybe $100 million worth of real estate, and what we're doing for him is we're doing a special project where we test on an entity-by-entity basis, a very big project. His CPA brought him over to us, and so his controller, who's a CPA, and his primary CPA and me, we're going to really look at this on an entity-by-entity basis because we need to test to see where we come out on the wage and capital tests because some of these buildings are old. Their basis has vanished because they're fully depreciated, or inflation has just pushed the rents up so much compared to the unadjusted basis that we're not going to get a good 199 Cap A result. So what we're going to do here is look for ways to reorganize his business in a tax-free way where we'll be able to enhance the 199 Cap A deduction. This might be the most interesting part of the whole process. We do have another client where he's running into limitations. Right now, he has some trusts for his children and grandchildren altogether. What we're going to end up there is setting up separate trusts for children and for grandchildren, and it's a fairly large group of people, but for every person, we get a $157,500 threshold exemption, and for the married, it would be $315,000. But if we set up, there's nine grandchildren, if we set up nine grandchildren's trusts, we'll pick up another 157 times 9 of threshold exemption, taking them outside the wage and capital test. So this will be good. Then we'll look at using cost-seg studies to reduce income below the thresholds. Interesting, in this case, cost holds or cost-segs make a lot of sense. And then we'll look at not doing cost-segs because of the impact on the 2.5% capital test. So this will be a lot of ground to cover. It will be fast-paced. My goal is to give you some gems of information, jewels of information, that you can take back and put to work right away in your practice. Again, this has been Bob Keebler on behalf of Lineberg Information Services, and we look forward to seeing you on February 15th. Thank you.